Well, briefly, I just want to share again our main mission. We are here to help you and myself and others, all of us, to grow in God and to find the call of God and to fulfill what He has called us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. That is, we love God, we love people, and we are in the process of making disciples that change the world. Hallelujah. How many world changers out there today? Amen. You're a world changer. I've got news for you. You can change your world. Hallelujah. We can change the world around us. And there are many ways that we're working on that. We're reaching St. Thomas in Elgin County to bring people into relationship with the Father and with fellow believers. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know people need to know God? And my key is, I said all the time, it's not about bringing people necessarily to church, but to bring them to Jesus. Amen. If they come to church and find Jesus, that's a good thing. Amen. But if you can lead them to Jesus, how many know the heart changes and people want to come to church? They want a fellowship. Why? Because their love is for the brethren. You know, we want to see that worship that flows in freedom and power of the Holy Spirit that brings people into what? The throne room of God. How many want the presence of God? How many know that it's important? We have free flow. We say that we go past the veil of the flesh and we enter the throne room of heaven and worship God with all of our heart. Amen. We're teaching believers the Word of God and the power of prayer, enabling them to walk in the full authority of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many believe we should be like Jesus? Amen. That's the goal of the disciple, isn't it? To be like the Master. Hallelujah. And so we believe we're building a growing and thriving church. God is through us. Hallelujah. That is a pillar of uncompromising truth in a dark and dying world. How many know we need truth today? As never before. How many are standing for the truth of what God has said? See, we can come to this generation. I think a lot of times, sometimes they want to change the truth to fit their lifestyle when God gave the truth to change your lifestyle. Amen. Not to allow us and give us freedom, but to take His truth and change us. Glory to God. And of course, we're a house of prayer, a beacon of light and love in St. Thomas and all of Canada. And we're a support to all those who hunger for God and for revival. Hallelujah. And that's part of what we'll be doing next Saturday. Will be the prayer of the 13th, right? Hallelujah. We'll be joining with Brazil for part of our prayer time on that Saturday, a couple of hours. And Jim will bring a little teaching and we'll pray with them. And we are endeavoring to help them grasp and get a hold of intercessory prayer, corporate prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. And be a part with them and join with them. So we have people from different cities across Brazil that come on Skype, and we have an interpreter. We're still kind of growing in it. Amen. Hallelujah. But how many believe that God is causing a spirit of prayer? Sometimes it has to be caught, doesn't it? As much as it is taught, but we teach and then some demonstration of prayer and understanding, and that's part of it. The first couple hours we have prayer here, and then we have a couple hours for them. But then, so the 10th, it'll be the 10th through the 13th that we'll have the fasting and prayer times from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. I know maybe not everybody can come, but whatever you can do, please be in prayer with us. If you can fast, that's great. I understand. I don't want anybody to put your health in jeopardy. I know some people take medications and you need a little bit, but you can do, everybody can do something. Amen. You can stop your sweets or you can lay down some kind of food. Amen. Praise God. And give glory to God for those 4 days and seek the face of heaven. Now, fasting food is not from midnight to 6 a.m. Okay. I'll let you catch that in a minute. You know, that's when we're usually sleeping. You know, so that's not really our fasting time. But praise the Lord, even though we do fast during that time. All right, glory to God. Well, let's pray and get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you have blessed us, that you have called us, that you have chosen each and every one of us, Father, for a purpose. And Father, we want to walk with you. We want to hear you for a few moments this morning. I ask you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to touch my lips, Father. Touch the Word of God. Let the Word of God bring forth truth, Father, and help us to be encouraged and strengthened this morning to continue in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. We've had Christmas. We had a little Christmas message a couple weeks ago, and week before that, we were talking about understanding God's purging process. How many remember some of that? Amen. We're understanding God's purging process. John chapter 15. Let's start there. And we'll just keep right on moving. Hallelujah. John 15. Let me talk about a few other things this morning as well. Let me try to marry this together. Hallelujah. Pray for me. Hallelujah. How many are believing for utterance in the Holy Ghost today? Amen. Hallelujah. John 15, verse 1 says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. He said, if a man, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. But if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Wow. Hallelujah. He says, his desire, Jesus' desire, the ultimate desire of Jesus is that we bear much fruit. Now here is Jesus is getting ready, of course, to go to the cross shortly. And he's talking to his disciples. And he is sharing with them the desire of the Father. He's really talking love talk to a bunch of men. There's 12 men here, and he says, let me tell you something, guys. He's saying, abide in me. Abide in me. He said, I am the vine. I'm the true vine. There's not another vine. How many know that the Bible says in the last days, they're going to cry out, here's Christ. He's over here. He's over there. And Jesus said, don't believe him. Do not believe it. I am the vine. I'm here. I'm the vine. I'm the one that brings the life to the branch. Oh, hallelujah. And we talked a little bit about the purging process, how when we spend time with God, when we spend time with the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues and ministering to God and meditating in the Word of God, that God begins to turn on what? That searchlight of the Holy Spirit upon our own heart. Amen. And sometimes there are things in there. How many ever seen anything inside of you you didn't realize before? You said, what in the world? What's that doing in there? I mean, God says, forgive. Well, what do you mean, forgive, Lord? I think I've forgiven everyone, and I'm sure you have. But how many know God wants us to come to that place where forgiveness is a part of our life? Where when it first takes place, we say, Lord, I forgive. I release. I let it go. Hallelujah. And He continues to deal with us. Sometimes there's things in our life. It's not that they weren't there before. But how many know when you walk into a closet or maybe you go up to your attic and you turn on the light, you don't say, look at all the dust that this light brought, do you? No. But suddenly you see the dust, don't you? You see the things that are there that are hidden in darkness. And when we open up our heart and we begin to fellowship with Him, what did He say over in Revelation 3:20? He said, I stand at the door and I knock. He knocks at the door of our heart. And He says, if any man will open the door. He's talking to those that are saved. He said, if you'll open the door, I will come in and I will what? Eat with you or fellowship with you and you with me. It sounds a lot like abiding to me, doesn't it to you? When we abide, what does that mean? It means to remain, to stay with Him, to walk with Him hand in hand, saying, yes, Lord, you're the vine. You're the one that brings the sustenance. Now see, there is a process that takes place. Hallelujah. I got about 20 minutes. Okay. Hallelujah. With the vine. First of all, I took a little things. I was looking at some of the fruit of the Spirit, which we see. Let's go over for a minute. We'll come back here. Keep your finger here in John 15. We're going to look at some things. But John, Galatians 5, verse 22, is where we find the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of our reborn spirit. Really, it's you. It's the real you, the part of you that was born again. Our inward man, the Bible refers to that as, or to the hidden man of the heart. It's what's in us. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And He says here, meekness, temperance, or self-control, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith. Amen. Meekness, or we humble our heart, teachableness, and temperance, or self-control. Against such, there is no law. And I'm pretty sure when Paul was here, he was over here in Galatians talking about that fruit. There's a possibility, I'm not saying he was for sure, but perhaps he was thinking about the vine. And when people go to Israel, a lot of times we don't realize that, but there's all kinds of vines that are there. They have wonderful grapevines, and the grapes are there. And of course, at this time in Israel, they would be aware of the grapes, and they were plentiful. And very sweet. And so there was a lot of that. And so when Jesus was here, He's getting ready. And of course, back here in John 15, He's getting ready to go to the cross. And the time of parables and secrets was coming to an end. And this was to be a time of final words to His followers. And it's a time that I believe was very clear. Jesus was being clear. He was being very precise with His disciples. And so here we are, and the disciples, I believe, after 3 years with Jesus, they were committed to the message of freedom and love, which He had preached, but here they are crossing the Kidron Valley toward the Mount of Olives, and they pass through the ancient vineyards. lining the valley terrace. And here Jesus stops. And most likely, he takes the grapevine in his hand. He begins one of these, this teaching here. And he is talking to them, of course, about him being divine. And sometimes we look at Jesus' words and we just kind of scan over them. Anybody ever do that? You know, I've got to get my Bible reading in today, you know. We read it. We read it before. But when we really begin to press in to understand the meaning, we can, until we do, a lot of times we miss some of the wonderful truths that are contained within these words and his words. And we, you know, we got to remember, I mean, this is 2,000 years ago it was written, a little more. And sometimes there are things to understand that are relevant to that culture and to that time. And so sometimes our understanding isn't as clear as it should be when we don't see everything. So I want to take a look here at what Jesus is saying to his disciples that night. What does it mean to us today? This isn't about money or military might or religion. This was about something much deeper, the most eternal thing that could be discussed. It was about relationship, wasn't it, with God. And Jesus is telling them and explaining to them, really sharing how much he really loves them and he cares for them. Even though it talks here in the second verse, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he what takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. What is he really talking about? And is it possible that Jesus was here? I did a little looking into the growing of the grapes. I didn't really know much about it myself. I've never been to Israel, so I haven't really seen that other than pictures, you know, that you see online or in a movie or on a video. But first of all, Jesus says, number one, he said, I am the true vine. He says, I'm the true vine. Now, if you're not a wine or vineyard expert, you may not think the vine, you might think that that vine is that trailing leafy thing that's going down the wires. You ever see those fields, you know, where they have the vineyards and they got the stakes up and the wine, the vines are on those lines that go down those, I forget what they call, I think they call them arbors or kind of a fence line. And the vineyard, but that's not the vine. That is, that's the branch that goes down there. The vine is the trunk that grows out of the ground. The vineyard keepers keep the vine cut to about waist height. So somewhere in there, maybe a little taller, I'm short, so, you know, could be a little higher. About waist height, they keep those, them cut to that length. And the vineyard keepers keep the vine cut to waist length so that they can attach the branches to the fence lines or to those arbors. And the vineyard keeper keeps cutting the vine at that spot, and so there's a heavy, gnarly stump that grows. Out of that stump comes all the branches. And Jesus said, this ugly, gnarly stump, that's me. I'm that vine. I'm the one that's bringing the life. I may not look so pretty, but here I am. I'm bringing life to that branch, to you. You are that branch. You're the one that's going down that wire. You're the one that's going down that fence line. And secondly, he says, my Father is the vine dresser. Now, the vine dresser is the one that takes care of the vineyard, isn't he? He's the one that's watching over it. What's his goal? Fruit. His goal is fruit. And we'll talk more about that. But Jesus said that our Father God, he's the vine dresser. He's like a farmer. And tending to the grapevines. And thirdly, you and I, we're the branches. The branches bear fruit. It is on the branches that the grapes actually grow. they don't grow over here at the you know, where the vine is, but they grow on the branches, don't they? The ones at the front of the branches are nice and sweet, and the vine dresser is going to make sure that when we get down to the end, these grapes down here, you taste one of those. Oh, those are sweet too. They're all good. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're the branches. We're the one bringing the fruit. And we don't know that they really don't do much work, but just do what they are made and prepared to do, which is what? Produce the fruit. The branch begins to produce the fruit. Verses 4 and 5 here in 15, it says, as the branch, we abide in him, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me, Jesus said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. With him, with Jesus, what can you do? You can do what? Everybody say all things. With him, you can have what? All things. Hallelujah. That he has promised us. And with him, we can be all things. Amen. How many believe? With him, we can be those things. We can bear fruit for him. He says what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control is what is to come forth from that inward man, from the abiding in Christ. When we live in him, when we what? Move in him. He says we have our being what? In Christ Jesus, don't we? And in what he has said. Inside of his word. And so here we have this, the vine dresser, we have Jesus the vine, the Father is the husbandman, and we are that branch. And why do you think Jesus says this example just before the cross, this lesson of grape growing? And so let's take a look here just for a minute. If you were in charge of the universe's largest missionary endeavor, saving the world, what would be on your mind if you knew you were leaving the earth very soon? What would be on Jesus' mind? He is the one over the universe, and we're going to bring forth some things. He says, I want to lay out the plan for the disciples. It would be a plan for fruit bearing and to show them that it will still be him and them working together. The work was just beginning, and the scope is bigger than ever imagined. And their world was Israel, a small country, just a very small country right in the middle, really, of the whole world. Yet, man, isn't that amazing? Israel, that little country, not much bigger than you know, just maybe about a quarter of Ontario, you know, something like that. What is fruit then? It is what we read here in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 about inward fruit from God working on the inside of us, number one, amen? How many know that it is the inward fruit that brings forth the outward fruit, amen? God works from the inside out. We talked about that last time. There's an inward fruit bearing, also called work. He said, apart from me, we can do nothing. And John 8 says, the Father is glorified, or he is manifested by our much fruit. And he is talking about works that we do. How many know that Ephesians 2:10 says that we are not saved by works, but unto what? Works. We're saved unto good works that we are to do. A Christian who is not serving God in some way, there's something wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're born again, we should have something that we're doing with and for the Lord. We remember the fig tree in Mark 11:12, where how many know there was a bunch of leaves, but there wasn't any fruit on the tree. So they are both important. Both inward fruit bearing is directly related to our outward fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. When we abide in him and with him, inward, if there is no inward abiding, there's no outward fruit. The fruit doesn't really begin to appear until we are with him and he begins to manifest and take that. Hallelujah. All right. Number one, he says he takes away or removes. He says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 2 here. And literally, when we talk about removing or taking away, literally it says to take up or to lift up. It's not really talking about cutting off, although there are things that are trimmed. But here he's talking about lifting up, or he takes it and he takes it up. It can mean to move to another place, but it's not really talking about removing it completely or cutting it off. The picture of a vine dresser leaning over and picking up a bunch of grapes or a vine that has drooped or fallen in a vine dresser is the way that the vine dresser that I was reading about was explaining it. Now, new branches have a natural tendency to trail down along the ground, but they don't bear fruit down there. When they grow along the ground, the leaves get coated in dust. When it rains, they get muddy and mildewed, and the branch becomes sick and useless. Someone asked, so do you cut off and throw away the branch? He says, oh no, exclaimed, the branch is much too valuable for that. That's you. You're very valuable. Amen. We go through the vineyard with a bucket of water looking for those branches, and we lift them up and we wash them off, and they place them back onto the fence. And verse 3, he says, you are already clean. Because of the washing, what? Because of the word which I have spoken to you. How many ever heard of the washing of the water of God's word over you? The vine dresser then showed some of his hands, and he's got some calluses and dark hands from where he had lifted up the grapes and lifted up the vines and put them on there. And pretty soon, once again, the vine begins to thrive. One grapevine expert said this is called the rescuing of the vine so that it will produce the good fruit that is the heart's desire of the one, the grower or the vine dresser, the heart of the Father. So that's number one. There's a rescuing, or there is a lifting up and a bringing up and a washing off, a cleansing that takes place. Secondly is the pruning. Now about pruning, because a grape's tendency to grow so vigorously, a lot of wood must be cut away each year. Grapevines can become so dense that the sun can't reach into the area where the fruit should be forming. So left to itself, a grape plant will always favor new growth over more grapes. The result from a distance is luxurious growth and impressive achievement, but up close, an underwhelming harvest. That's why the vine dresser cuts away unnecessary shoots, no matter how vigorous, because the vineyard's only purpose is grapes. In fact, pruning is a grower's single most important technique for ensuring a plentiful harvest. So he has to prune that back. Why? So the sun can shine in and shine through and bring forth that fruit. So there's four things involved in pruning. Number one, remove the growth that is dead or dying. How many know it's not so painful when you get rid of stuff that's already dead? Amen. But they can be cumbersome. Have you ever trimmed a tree? Some of the men in here, right? Or maybe you saw a tree trimmed and you take off some of those branches that are dead. You start out, take out the ones that have died and for the year, and you throw them away. Secondly, we allow sunlight to get in to all fruit-bearing branches. Wonderful This is where we see that there is a wonderful abiding in Jesus. Amen. When we are in him and we fellowship with him, he brings forth that light and brings forth the warmth. There's an increase in the size and quality of the fruit, which would represent some of the greater works. How many know that he wants us to do, you know, bring forth fruit, bring forth the work of God, and encourage new growth. And that's always good. Titus 2:4 says that we are to be zealous of good works. Titus 2:4. So can you picture Jesus right now? Can we see him kneeling down, cradling a bunch of grapes on a branch in his hands as he illustrates how he will be there to lift them up, clean them off, place them where they belong, and remove the things that burden them down or clutter their lives so they can bear, what, some of the best fruit possible. He said, is it painful? There are some things in our life. Sometimes what? We have fleshly desires. How many have a flesh? You know, you don't. Sometimes there's things in our life we don't want pruned. Maybe you're in your life and you say, well, I don't like the job God's given me right now. Well, sometimes we have to make a decision in our heart. Say, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to remain faithful in what you've given me to do. And regardless of how I feel, I'm going to stand up with the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. And I'm going to say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to stay in my place. And I'm going to continue to fulfill the last things, the things that you are putting in my heart. Maybe it's a place in prayer. Maybe it's a place in the Word of God. Maybe it's a place that he has asked you to serve where you can't be seen. But yet God is rewarding you and he is saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and fellowship with me. And out of that abiding presence comes that strength. Amen. How many know that on the inside of you, we have what we need to continue to be his disciple, to continue to grow and bear forth fruit? We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit, don't we? We have the things that are necessary. We've got worship on the inside of us. We're going to do some fasting here in a week or so and continue to press into God and allow him to do the pruning in our life. And so here we see as we, we are created to bear fruit, but still there's things that will keep us from doing so if we don't allow the vine dresser to keep us lifted up, cleaned up, in our God-given place, and with the dead, unnecessary garbage removed from our life. How many believe that's important? Amen. He comes along, and he may lift us up. He cleans us up when we get into the Word of God. When we confess our sin, we are clean. We are there. We are available. We can abide in him. But if we don't allow him, he can't take out. We must allow God to put us in our God-given place. And with that, you know, getting all that baggage out, anything that's from the old life or from the flesh nature to die and be pruned from us. Amen. And if we're burdened or weighed down, he'll lift you up. How many know that he comes along and he will strengthen us if we will, what, acknowledge him. Amen. We'll open that door, as we said earlier. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open that door, I will come into him. I will sup with him, or I will fellowship with him, and he with me. We're going to have a sweet time together. And if you have sin in our life, we can repent and be washed clean. If we've fallen from our place of ministry and service, let us put you back where you belong. And if you're spending your time involved in things that bear no fruit for the Master, reevaluate our life and let him show us where we need pruning to bear the best, sweetest, and the richest fruit. How many want to bear more fruit in 2024? You want to spend a little bit more time with the Master, abiding in his presence, letting him lift you up, letting him bring that strength that he brings, letting him wash us in the water of His Word. Amen. Letting Him strengthen us from the inside out so that the fruit that is within us will come forward. He can prune back even the parts that grow too vigorously. How many know sometimes we get a little over? Anybody ever got overzealous? You know, I know I got filled with the Holy Ghost. They should have locked me up for a little while. You know, I was a little overzealous, but that was okay. God worked anyway, and He brings us to that place. But can you see that here in the Word of God, where Jesus is bringing His last words? He says, yes, there's going to be some pruning, guys. Yes, the vine dresser wants you to bear fruit. And in bearing fruit, you're going to be My disciples, because you're going to look just like Me. You're going to let love flow. You're going to have the joy of the Lord, the strength of God on the inside of you. How many know the joy of the Lord is our strength? Amen. Hallelujah. Who's got some peace? Are you going to let God's peace rule, or are we going to look around at the world system and what's happening all about us and let circumstance control us? No. We're going to rise above. We're going to allow ourselves to what? Abide in His presence. And in that place, we receive the strength. We receive the life to produce the sweet fruit that God desires for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to fulfill the call of God, what He has called us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. What is that place? Where am I to be, Lord? Those are great questions to ask and to continue to abide until it's clear in our heart. Amen. That's where we get it from. See, I can't really say, hey, this is what you're called to do. I do know some things. We're called to be in the Word of God. Amen. We're called to be in prayer, be people of prayer. We're called to worship Him. I'm not talking about just the church. It's good. We need to worship God at church. How many know we need to worship God at church? Amen. But we need to also worship God at home. Sometimes taking that time. Maybe you don't have an hour, but you got 10 minutes or a little break. I'm going to just worship You, Lord. Close our eyes. Oh, Lord, it doesn't have to be fancy. See, we can't run around. I don't know about you, but I don't have a band that follows me around. So I got to learn to worship Him out of my heart. And then I'm a little, you know, I have a little trouble with my tunes when I sing. You know, God likes them, but, you know, others may not. But I just share my heart. See, I love You, Lord. I worship You, Father. That's abiding in His presence. I glorify You. Now, mind you, get back here. Don't be solving the problems for yesterday or tomorrow. I force my mind to think about what I'm saying, and I pour all of my heart into each statement. I love You, Jesus. I worship You. I glorify You. I magnify You, Lord. Thank You for saving me, Jesus. I'm so glad that You washed me in that blood. I'm so glad that You purchased me, that I'm Your very own son, or You're my very own Father. I want You to know I love You today. I worship You, Lord. Thank You. Now, mind you, get back here. Wait a minute. Stop if I have to. Bring my mind back. Think about what I'm saying. I love You, Jesus. I said, I love You, Jesus. I worship You. I glorify You. Oh, I magnify You, Lord. I'm so thankful You saved me. I'm so thankful You forgave me. I'm just grateful to be Your very own, Lord, that You're my Father. I'm Your son. You're the one that is causing me to find my place and to be placed where You want me to be. And I can trust You with my future. And I can stand at whatever You have said to me, Lord. That's what I'm going to do. As I abide in Your presence. And I let You lead me in and lead me through. No matter, see, at that point, no matter what the circumstances are, we just continue with Him. Amen. To continue to fulfill whatever we have to do. To be in His presence and to fulfill what He has asked us to do. Amen. Let's bring forth fruit in 2024. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, we look to the inside of us. Lord, what are we saying with our mouth, Lord? Are we using it to bless you and to minister to you, Lord, and to speak the truth? Or are we using it, Lord, to gossip or to backbite against someone else? Lord, put a watch at the door of our lips, Father. Help us to use our words right. What are we thinking about? What are our thoughts? Are we taking our thoughts captive? Are we thinking on the Lord and thinking on what is good and true and just and honest? Amen. And lovely and praiseworthy. Are we thinking about what's happening in the world? Are we letting fear enter in? Or are we allowing God's peace to keep us in that place with Him? There are some things that we have to trust God with. Amen. He said, trust in the Lord with all our heart. We don't have to lean to our own understanding. But in all our ways, Father, we want to acknowledge you and trust that you direct our steps. Help us with our thoughts this year, Lord. Help us with our words, Lord. Help us in our actions, Lord. What we do, Lord God, and the things that are important to you, like abiding in your word, abiding in your presence, living in you, Holy Spirit, letting you be our teacher and our guide, Lord, and trusting you with our future in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if anybody came specifically, I thank everybody in here. Is everybody born again this morning? Hallelujah. I believe everybody's born again this morning and filled with the Holy Spirit. But how many know this year, this is a good time of year to look on the inside and examine our hearts and, Lord, where am I? What am I doing? Am I really putting you as priority in my life? Am I seeking you first, Lord? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to take communion, and as we do that, we will examine our hearts, I'm sure. He said when we do it in what? Remembrance, he said, of me. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 22 this time. I'm going to use Luke 22 this morning. Hallelujah. And verse 19 and 20, if you're here, you're welcome to take communion with us. No one is forbidden. If you really believe God, I believe people could get saved taking communion. If they really believe in God, amen. And we're thinking about what Jesus did. But verse 18 says this, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks. He broke it. He gave to them. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also, he took the cup and after supper saying, he said, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have the body, which was broken for us, and the blood, which he said was brings that cleansing, the remission of sin, amen, hallelujah, and seals us as a son and daughter of God and reminds us of what Jesus has done in that cross. How many know? Jesus used great self-control. He allowed the fruit of self-control when he was getting ready to go to that cross. The Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels. He said he could have said, Father, it's all over. Do you understand that he had connection with the Father? And he could have left his earthly life and said, that's it. It's over. Let's just wipe him out, God. Father, you know, I mean, he is the God of heaven and earth. Jesus is still God. And the Bible said the Father left that option open to him. And he could have done it, but he didn't. He could have stopped. Instead, he endured the hardness. He endured the hardness at the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? He said, I've got to go through with this. And he shed some blood. And he endured the hardness when he was brought before Pilate and they slapped him and plucked out his beard. And I'm sure he shed some blood. And when they took him to the whipping post and they gave him the cat of nine tails, the Roman whipping, not the Jewish whipping, there was no limit. And they beat him till his back was just bleeding and bare. And he said, by his stripes, we were healed. He shed some blood. And then they put a crown of thorns upon his head. And blood ran down. He shed some blood for you and I, that we might have what? Peace of mind. Amen. Said the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed. That includes healing in the mind. Amen. Healing for a peace of mind. And he walked down that road, down to Calvary's Hill, carrying that cross, shedding blood all the way down. There was a bloody path that went all the way down till they came where they hammered those spikes in his hands and his feet and shed more blood. And they stood that cross up and there he was. They couldn't kill him. The Bible says that he had freely given his life. He could have called 10,000 angels, but instead he used the self-control that God gave him. And that also lives on the inside of us, where we can control ourselves and walk out any circumstance, trusting that he is faithful. Amen. Well, let's take the bread and we'll break it. He took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which was broken for you. And we do it in remembrance of what he has done for us. And as this bread becomes one with us, Father, we pray that there'll be healing power that will come into our body and become one with us, Lord, as we remember the stripes that you bore, the body which was broken for us. Lord, we take and we eat. And Lord, we remember, Lord, as we remember what you've done for us, Lord, we want to abide with you this year, Lord. We want to walk with you. We want to bear good fruit, Father. Lord, as you shed your blood all along the way, gave your full life for us, that our sins be forgiven and washed clean, we thank you for it. We do so in remembrance of you, Lord. We take the cup of the new covenant, Lord, in your blood, which was shed for us, and we drink. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for the victory, Lord. Thank you for that blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.